Welcome to our Worldwide Network for Success, WWYNS, your dedicated business radio station. The mission of our station is to help you learn how successful managers and business owners direct their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful.
Good evening. Welcome to your Network for Success. Do you need cash in your business? Would you like to create greater involvement from your workforce? This is Neil Safir of Consulting Task Force, and obtaining equity participation for your business is the subject for tonight's information-packed edition of your Network for Success. With us is Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, Neil.
And it's a pleasure being here with you. We have an interesting discussion tonight. I think a lot of people who are in business have these questions that come up about how to get more money to run their businesses. And I guess one of the first questions, Joe, is about what entrepreneurs currently get most of their growth capital.
Well, for a well-established firm, probably most of them go to the bank, but there is a good alternative in terms of equity financing and participation, and that's one of the things we want to talk about. We all know that when businesses start, they generally get money from family and friends. And as businesses mature a little bit, when they want to expand, if they don't aren't bankable, so to speak, they often look to individual investors, maybe what are called these days angels or venture capitalists, looking for good companies to invest in because there's an opportunity or because they like the nature of the industry. But there's another source that's available, and it isn't often tapped, and that's one of the things we want to talk about tonight, is either taking on a partner, more so than just an equity participant as an investor, or in fact looking to employees as potential equity participants.
Well, when you're going to grow a business, would you mind just going over some of the simple alternatives as far as what choices do you have?
Well, the easy one is debt financing that most people think of, simply going to a bank and trying to get a loan. Usually the bank wants a fair amount of capital.
You say simply going to a bank, it may not be the simplest.
It may not be the simplest, but that's what most people think of because that's a traditional source. One of the major concerns of the bank not only is the nature of the loan, but whether there's enough collateral in case something goes wrong and the bank needs to liquidate some assets in order to get its money back. Of course, that's the negative and the downside, but that's, I think, what drives most banks in terms of their looking for lending. The next thing they're also looking for is the ability for you to pay it back, and so you have to make a pretty good case about what impact the debt is going to have in the growth of the business. Now, on the parallel side, when you're looking for equity, a sophisticated investor like a venture capitalist or an angel would certainly be looking for some of the same factors. But the things we're talking about, family and friends and maybe partners anxious to get into a business, create a good business relationship that they might not have been able to buy into in a traditional sense, is an opportunity. And also taking a look at the opportunity for employees to buy into a business and become part owners or shareholders, if you will, in that business. And there's a couple of ways to do that. One is the cash form. And if you've got a workforce that isn't making much money, that may not be very realistic. But the other one to be thinking about is the sweat equity option, and I don't think most business owners consider that very carefully.
Is there anything, that sounds like a simple plan where I guess where people work for and some of the money they get is actually put into stock for the company, is that the concept?
Well, basic idea, that's one of the options that I think a business owner ought to think about seriously. Mm-hmm. We all know about, for those of us that have started businesses, we all know about the sweat equity principle in terms of our own activities, because what we're doing is working maybe more hours than we would if we were working for an employer. We're maybe working on projects to develop new products or new services that someone else doesn't have, and we're not getting paid for that. And so the same idea can be applied to employees. If they're developing new ideas or new divisions of a company, or they're creating new initiatives that might not have existed in that company in the past, there's no reason that you'd have to necessarily pay them cash if they're willing to invest their time and effort for a return in terms of either stock ownership or other forms of profit sharing that might be possible.
Now, what's the legal ramifications of paying people? Is there some sort of wage you have to pay them if they're employees, or how do you work stuff like that out?
Well, the basic idea is that what you're doing is you're trading work for some valuable consideration. Mm-hmm. And it depends on what the consideration is. If you agree ahead of time that it has to be in terms of stock, if your stock has some value, and that would be something that you have to value, put a value on. But if you, let's say somebody's willing to work for 1,000 shares of your company, let's assume you have $1 million capitalization, or 1 million shares capitalization, I'm sorry, and they're willing to work for 1,000 shares of it, then that's consideration. As long as there's consideration that changes hands, mm-hmm. That's a reasonably good thing. The value of the stock itself, if it's a penny a share or a dollar a share, whatever, might be taxable. But again, it depends on how you distribute the stock and whether it's held by the employee initially or whether it's held by the company. So there are a lot of implications that your accountant might want to get involved with, but it's certainly something that you should be considering as an alternative.
So if a company wanted to set up a plan like this, how would they go about to, it sounds nice because it sounds like it's a way to do something without having a lot of money, but it also sounds like it's not as simple as it sounds. How do you go about doing this? Do you go out and
let's take the easiest example in my opinion, and rather than distributing stock, let's look for other ways to get people to be more motivated. If you think about this idea of ownership, I tend to think, and I've experienced with many of my customers, this idea of how to get employees more motivated in terms of doing their job. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the ways is to get them to feel and be and act more like owners. Well, what's the idea? How do you get the motivation to do that? Well, some of the things that you can start doing simply are either what's called gain sharing or profit sharing. What you say to employees is, look, this is our current level of income, mm-hmm. and this is our current level of expense. Maybe you give them some historical data to show what the trend is over the years, and this is our level of profit. If we work together to increase this, I'll share some of that increase with you. Pretty simple idea, and it can be implemented very easily without the complexities of sharing stock, but certainly it's one of the ways to help your company grow by helping your employees think about, on a more active day-to-day basis, about how to get more either revenues into your company, so they might look for opportunities to make sales that they haven't done in the past, or they look for ways to save money that they may have overlooked in the past simply because they were working more like automatons in some cases, just going through the motions. Now you get people thinking about how to create savings. And this works very well when you pay out immediate rewards for doing this. So there, you need to do some sort of measuring, mm-hmm. and you may need to do it fairly frequently, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, depends, quarterly, depends on the company. The more frequently and the more impact that employees see that their actions have, the faster the system works and the better it works, because people see that they're now having an impact on the profitability of the company.
So really, as part of this type of process, you need not just to, one of the things you have to do is make a profit, obviously, and otherwise the whole thing goes away.
Well, not necessarily. Let's say you're having a loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, if historically you haven't had a loss, but you're now having a loss, and you're looking for gain sharing, you look at, let's say you try to have what we call a checkbook balance mentality. Mm-hmm. You share the idea of how people spend their money, just like they do naturally at home, and you say this is the way the company is spending its money. We may have been losing money in the past, but if we can make a short-term profit this month, I'll share some of that profit with you. So it can be a turnaround situation, and again, that's what we've experienced in many situations where companies may not have been very profitable or had been losing money or were, you know, going in and out of profitability and loss situations. You can stop the losses and get the employees to think much differently and act much differently in order to turn that situation around.
So one of the facets of it is, first of all, it's, you can't give them all a profit, obviously, then you'll never get out of your own
right
barn. So a certain amount of the profit that goes into the coffers is set aside to the people. But also this communications aspect of it is, somehow or other, you've got to be, they have to trust you that when you show them where you stand financially, that it makes some sense. Is that correct? Is that part of it?
Well, yes. Now, we're not talking about doing this in a dishonest way. We're saying, yes, you want to share factual information. In fact, there's a article in the new CFO magazine about full disclosure of company financial data and some non-financial performance measures. And it looks like there's going to be a trend in the future to share this kind of information with employees and stockholders. And so if you're uncomfortable with sharing information with your employees, then this may not be a plan for you. But if you can track your income and outgo on a monthly basis and feed that data back to your employees and show them how costs for phones have gone down, or costs for waste materials have gone down, or better ways to recycle or reutilize items in your balance sheet, profit and loss statement, when you can show them how they're having an impact on saving or making you money, they wake up pretty quick, and they may not get all your profit, but if you share a portion of it, you may want to agree ahead of time with them, or you may want to just tell them, I'll share 25% of every dollar that we make in terms of profit, or 10%, whatever the right number is. It has a pretty quick impact.
Okay, that's great, Joe. I have a lot more questions to ask, but I have to take a break. We're speaking with Joe Camara of Consulting Task Force, and our focus is on obtaining equity participation for your business. Coming up, we'll be talking more about the process of doing this with your employees especially.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Squared. The Squared designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586. 575-737-8586. Or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network4success.com for more detail. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
Joe, we're back in asking you questions about the firm and about people actually getting employees involved in equity financing, or in this case, we talk about profit sharing, which is a little bit different because they're not really shareholders, which I would imagine is really a simpler process. What would you say about that, sharing a profit versus actually giving them shares?
Definitely a simpler process, but really the same basic idea. You don't necessarily have to share the profitability of the company. You could share shares instead. Mm-hmm. And so the two ideas are basically the same. I think they start with profit sharing or gain sharing, personally. I think that's the best way to go, because there's no reason to share equity in your company if you're not getting them to work on helping you make a better profit.
Right. Well, the other side of the coin is if you do get into equity, and I went through this, is if you have employees who are part owners, they now become part spokesmen.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And now, and it's nice to be able to participate when everybody has to share in the decision-making. It's sort of good news, bad news.
Absolutely. Well, and this is one of the risks. So we're going to talk about risks maybe a little bit more later, but if you don't like to share information or you don't like to share decision-making authority, then this may not be a good way for you to go.
Well, I guess there's a question that came up about why would a person even consider this kind of plan, which means getting employees involved in the first place? There must be some really good logical reasons that you've thought about this.
Well, I think the one goes back to our earlier discussion. If you can't borrow money and you need to grow, or you think there's a great opportunity to grow and there's no other way to get cash, who are you going to get to invest in your company? If you can't make a good case for your growth to an venture capitalist or an angel or some other outside lender, where are you going to get the money? You're going to either have to forfeit the opportunity or find an alternative. This is one of those alternatives. And I've seen it work in companies that we've worked with, and I know that it can be structured around the needs of both the management and the employees so that everybody wins. And as long as everybody wins, usually it creates increased motivation to make the thing work.
So really what you're saying also is that if there is a chance to do something positive for the company and it requires cash, you can get cash by decreasing your costs somehow.
Absolutely.
You don't get outside, necessarily get outside cash.
We all know that companies have to suffer cutbacks at times. I guess the question is it better to lose personnel, or is it better to help employees understand why they might need to take a short-term decrease in their pay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this is always the case, but this is one situation that many companies face. Well, let's say it's a non-union situation, could be a union, but mostly I'm experienced with non-union. Let's say the employees can see the same value, but they see the opportunity to recoup or get back, which is what a union would want to do, get back mm-hmm. the loss that they've given up. Now you go to this plan, you maybe take a short-term hit on salaries or a moratorium on something or another. You may work overtime or, you know, do certain things that would not fall within the normal operating procedure. And you give employees a way to now get back what they've given up for a short term. And you get them more focused on what's going on in your company, because now you're going to need to share financial information with them. It may take some training. Typically, my experience is that you need to help employees think about how their experience of living and paying out their expenses relates to your company's expenses. That's a valuable tool in and of itself. As they get thinking about and understanding better how to read, quote, a profit and loss statement, they can see the impact of rising telephone costs or rising scrap rates or rising waste or garbage activities. And they can see the value of when you help them and they take action to reduce those costs, they can see the direct benefit not only in the bottom line but in their pocketbook. It's a great motivator.
Well, you're actually talking about a part that there's been a number of articles in Inc. magazine about companies being turned around by getting employees involved. And I guess part of the, quote, TQM process is to get employees involved in understanding the processes and what decisions are made and really impacting the bottom line by their own actions. So it all seems to tie together. And what about convincing the people to do this?
Well, it's a matter of some emotion and some logic. Always everyone wants to make more money. And if one approaches it from that perspective, usually you get people's attention.
You try to do greed rather than fear?
Well, yeah. Incentives rather than disincentives. I would buy that. And so what you try to do is help people understand what the advantages are, why they might want to do this. And if this is not a short-term approach, some gain-sharing projects or programs are typically oriented around short-term, you know, let's get us out of the situation. Mm-hmm. We are not looking at that. Equity is a long-term situation. We're assuming the company is going to survive for the long term. Sure, it'll have a lot of impact on the way the company does business. And again, if you're not interested in participation or if you're not interested in involvement by your employees or taking their ideas and suggestions, this is not a good way to go. But if you are in your business for the long term and you're trying to build involvement and participation and motivation, then this is another tool that somebody can use, whether it's profit sharing or whether it's sharing of equity.
Now, is this type of system easy to implement? Can I just tomorrow morning, if I have a company, just sit down with my accountant and say, how do we do this? Or how do you start the procedure to go ahead and do it?
I'd say it's easy, but not that easy. The place we think you should start is with a vision. One of the easy ways is to help people get involved and excited about something. Is show them what the vision for the future is. Really, that's what a business plan is about. Now, I realize if you're going to write a business plan for a bank or a business plan for a venture capitalist, it may take as much involvement. However, my experience is that we don't need to have quite as well documented a plan because these employees are living the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can see the future, they can see that you need this cash for something. You've got a big order coming in or you have the prospect of making a sale. And you need this cash, but you can't get it anywhere else. Where else can you go? If you can help them see the value that it's going to have, the impact it's going to have on their jobs, in the short term and the long term, the sale's probably an easier one. So we would start with a vision or a business plan, and that's something you want to share and get people excited and talking about. Once that's done, that really the next easy step is to start measuring things, and the P&L statement's the easy thing to measure. We don't like accrual accounting in this particular case. What we like is actual week to week, day to day.
You're talking almost about cash flow.
Cash flow in and out, right? Because even though they're receivables and things, I mean, you can account for that. But the point is, when people can see what impact saving scrap or reducing phone calls or increasing or leads that the company has just by going out and talking with their family and friends or whatever it happens to be. They can see the immediate impact. So they get direct feedback about how their actions have direct result on the value of the bottom line, the size of the bottom line.
So you really almost talk about focusing on measurable cost items rather than because the cash flow is kind of a...
Well, we look at both. I like to look at both sides. We look at the sales side. I mean, again, if you think about no matter what kind of workforce you have, they all have contacts, mm-hmm. typically, my experience is. Most workers in companies do not see themselves as having the possibility to generate leads. But they have a network. They know at least 50 or 100 people. Those people know other people. Are there people in that network that might help the company grow? Mm-hmm. I certainly think there are.
Yeah, and I think especially in a service type or distribution type company as opposed to a manufacturer where you can't go around the countryside. And
well, even in my experience with a manufacturing firm, we found ways to help employees think about making contacts with other people that they know in other manufacturing firms, especially if it's a firm that
can
do business.
Where they can have local circulation.
Sure, right. Sure. Right.
Okay, that sounds like an interesting approach. And you've worked with companies that have done this. Have they had any downside activities as far as that goes? Is it all just great? You sort of start it and away we go?
Well, there's always risk in everything. And so one of the risks that we see is that this is not for all people.
Okay, Joe, I really shouldn't have asked you that question just now. We're going to have to take a little bit of break. We're speaking with Joe Komarev, Consulting Task Force, and our focus on obtaining equity participation for your business. Coming up, we'll be asking the question about what's the downside of taking this route.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Squared. The Squared designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to, 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586, 575-737-8586, or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network4success.com for more details. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
This is Dale Safir of Consulting Task Force, and we're speaking with Joe Komarev, President of Consulting Task Force. Our focus is on obtaining equity participation for your business. Did you know there are more than 100 events each year that focus on the guests and topics discussed on your network for success? And cassette copies of all our programs are available to interested listeners, free of charge, by calling Consulting Task Force at 634-7013. Joe, we're just talking a little bit about the subject, and we'll get really focusing on employee ownership and employee participation in making profits. And I guess the question is, what's the downside? And you were just about to start to answer that question.
Well, two things. This is not good for every employee. For some reason, some employees are pessimistic or can't be convinced, and there are other people that just refuse. And so you may need to think about what we call trading those employees for more motivated employees. That's one of the downsides, is that maybe not everybody wants to participate, and I think that's a decision each individual company needs to make. If the company does more than profit sharing and goes to sharing of equity in terms of actual ownership, getting rid of individuals who might not have participated fully or who need to be traded, may be a bit of a difficulty in terms of buying out those shares. There's also a downside for the individual employees. If for some reason the business does fail and that the employees have bought shares, they will definitely be disappointed. But it may have been a situation that could not have been rectified in that case, because if the employees are working their buns off to create value in the company, and the management's trying to create value, and the company doesn't survive, There may have been a major flaw in the business, and so there may be that downside.
Well, there's one other, I think, which you may be getting to, but I just want to make sure we include it. The people don't realize that a business makes money, loses money, and at some point, if you have to put in more cash, et cetera, the persons who are now equity holders really have assumed part of the liability for the business. Is that correct, Joe?
Well, I guess it depends on how you structure things. You may have certain kinds of shares of stock that are preferred or that they're separate from the normal stock ownership. So there are a lot of ways, I think, to minimize
that. Keep them insulated from it. Okay.
Right. And again, this can't be done necessarily without thought. This needs the input of a company's accountant, maybe an attorney, to make sure that the company is following good guidelines. And the other, again, the thing we've talked about a couple of times, if you don't like to disclose financial information or you have a very authoritarian approach, this probably won't work. There are ways to get around both of those. The first one's easy in the sense of instead of sharing actual dollar figures, you can share percentages. And as long as somebody understands what the impact of the percentages are, the disclosure part is easy. As far as the authoritarian side goes, that's just something that somebody would have to grow with over time. And maybe there could be started this approach with teams rather than a full company. And so there's lots of ways to handle that. But I think there are a lot more advantages than disadvantages.
Excellent. Thank you. We've been speaking with Joe Camara of Consulting Task Force about obtaining equity participation for your business. We'd like to thank you for joining us. And for those of you dedicated to building your financial and business success, Consulting Task Force and its sponsors provide cassette tapes and personal contact events, all focused on the guests and topics of your network for success. Our listeners can tell you that not taking advantage of these opportunities is probably costing you money. To learn more, contact Consulting Task Force 24 hours a day at 634-7013. That's 634-7013. Looking forward to seeing you on Friday morning and sharing a cup of coffee and a bagel. And a bagel. And a bagel. And a bagel.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Squared. The Squared designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your network for success are to 1, provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments, 2, enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less, 3, get the IMS Squared benefits, and 4, the bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6, or in numbers, 575-737-8586, 575-737-8586, or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing in to our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network4success.com for more detail. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6. Our program, The Leading Edge of Supply Chain Management, was brought to you by Supply Chain Optimizers. SCO is a logistics company known for providing personalized, end-to-end cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving the hundreds of opportunities firms have hidden within their supply chain activities. If you want to download 15-minute segment podcasts of this program, simply go to www.network4success.com. That's network4success.com. This program was produced and directed by Your Network for Success and is copyrighted as of March 11th, 2013.